All right. Got Rickrolled.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you.
Oh, he... Did he guess it?
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, and we have young man Bryce with us for episode 30.
Episode 30, nice and even. We have another three movies this week.
So we are doing Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet, Bumblebee, and the Lego Movie 2, Part 2.
Lego Movie 2, Part 2. Okay, I guess they must think we don't understand what 2 means.
Well, no, it's actually a play on words. It's actually Lego Movie 2, the second part.
The second part.
There are three parts.
It's a dad joke in a movie title.
So you guys had a spur of the moment Disneyland excursion last night, huh?
So we did Disneyland again last night. That's our third time in 2 weeks.
Life's rough.
It was really awesome.
A Friday night, you know, just a regular Friday night. You get off work and you're just like, what are we going to do for Friday night?
We can stay till 11 o'clock p.m.
I guess so.
So we did that last night. And then today they had a birthday party. They went to a pizza birthday party. Happy birthday, Emma.
And I got really pink hands.
We caught Bryce red-handed with red food coloring all over his hands from doing a cupcake challenge this evening.
But another thing is, I wasn't even in it. I was a judge. And I got purple and blue hand food coloring on my hand, so it could have been worse.
Yeah, I guess so.
How was your week, Jimmy?
Week was good. We had graduation, so we pushed another class out the door into adulthood. Well, I didn't. Well, maybe I should have. I'll probably graduate high school around the time of retirement.
What? You're still in high school?
Unfortunately, yes, I am still in high school. Year in, year out, I am still in high school. But yeah, so we got another class graduated. And the other big news is the youngest, Mikey, turned the corner and he is out of diapers finally.
Yay.
Oh my goodness.
No more diapers, huh? That's great.
Well, we put him in a pull-up overnight, you know, just
a extra precaution, little safety.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really hold it so much, though he does wake up with it dry most often, but sometimes he has a mistake, you know, an accident.
That's great.
But no big deal. Anyway, yeah, glad to hear you guys had a good week. And how about we get to the first movie, Ralph Breaks the Internet. Wreck-It Ralph 2.
I have one more thing.
Uh-oh.
like Steve Jobs before us, one more thing, right? Did you see this week? Did you see the post I put on our Slack channel? How many trailers came out this week?
Why so many?
Well, I couldn't figure it out. And it seems like it's a thing, like the first week in June is a huge trailer issue.
What do you mean an issue?
So I'm asking my friends on Twitter about what's up with this week, but so many people are into
the trailers
that they've actually put a bracket in for the first week of June, but it actually has all the movies that I posted on that Slack post for you and I to look at. But I have
Ralph Breaks the Internet, the Lego Movie 2 Part 2, and Mortals Engines, and
White Boy Rick, Serenity, Operation Finale, Old Man and the Gun,
the How to Train Your Dragon, the Hidden World.
Siberia, London Fields, Bad Times at the El Royale, Widows, A Star is Born, First Man, Mortal Engines, Bumblebee, Lego Movie 2, the second part, Suspiria, Halloween, The Girl in the Spider's Web.
Wait, Halloween is in like the horror movie?
Yeah, Halloween that came out on Friday.
They're bringing it back?
The new trailer. They're doing a whole new... They're doing Spider-Man, but the Spider-Man is a cartoon Spider-Man, and it's called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So I watched all these trailers, obviously. We're trying to pick movies for us to review. We have Bryce. Bryce wanted to do a guest spot on the show. There's a lot of kids' trailers coming out this week. So we settled on these three. But I didn't want to ignore the other ones, the other movies that came out this week. There's so many. We can't cover them all in 1 week. But you know what we can do with these? What can we do that's really short?
Hot take.
Well, even faster than hot take is Ted's three-word reviews for each one.
That is way faster. Can I do a
forward
review?
No. You're going to do the reviews when we get to them. But I'm going to run through that list again in order and give you three-word reviews for each one of these trailers.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. First one up on Monday, Widows came out. And Widows' three-word review is Nasty Ocean's Women.
All right, and I got to watch all these because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Okay, Suspiria. Call Me Crazy, because Call Me By Your Name is the name of his other movie that this director did, and this movie is
right.
Whacked crazy. Ralph Breaks Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2. I'll save that three-word review for when we do it.
Sure enough.
White Boy Rick, Not So Fly, because it's kind of like it's Detroit, it's Superfly, except instead of Superfly, this guy is not fly, but he is a big-time drug dealer in Detroit.
For a white guy?
For a white guy, yeah. The Ranch Part 5, White Trash Bride.
Trash Bride.
I'm going to say these, okay? You can do when we get to the kid stuff, but this is not kid stuff. Mortal Engines finally came out with a full music, full trailer, and it's British Demolition Derby.
Nice.
Bumblebee, that's not actually the one I'm going to do. Lego, we're going to do that later. Sharp Objects, Puts Eyes Out. Old Man and the Gun, Ocean's Old Man. A lot of Ocean's references because Ocean's 11 is, you know, kind of the pinnacle of heist.
So wait. Let's go back. What was the one about Puts Eyes Out?
Sharp Objects is an Amy Adams HBO movie.
Oh, I was thinking Run with Scissors.
Yes. Except Run with Scissors is the name of another movie. So that's why I had to get away with that. Operation Finale is Munich Debt Sequel.
Oh.
A Star is Born, Trust the Raccoon.
Wait, is that A Star is Born like with Liza Minnelli?
Star is Born, the original Star is Born is actually Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand, that's who it was. Yeah. That was way off.
This is Bradley Cooper, who plays Rocket Raccoon in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Is it the same movie, though? I mean, is it like a remake?
It looks like a remake. And okay. Lady Gaga plays the Barbara Streisand role.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's really cool because this is, I think, his directorial debut. London Fields, which is Amber Heard's new movie. It's Unbridled Smoldering Amber is the three-word review for that.
Okay.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Spidey's Training Wheels. Because it's a really cool trailer. That was very close to getting done in this one, but I didn't do it. Serenity, more Conaughey, please. Because this is the second Conaughey movie, trailer that came out this week. Girl in the Spider's Web is carrying Larson's torch. This is the first in the Girl with a Dragon Tattoo series that was written after the death of the main author's original trilogy. So it's a fourth movie in that series. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, another one that was very close to getting into this. You want to say it?
Toothless Gets Girlfriend?
Yes, Toothless Gets Girlfriend. Bad Time at El Royale. This looks like the best movie of the week, but it's not kid-friendly, so maybe we'll get to this next week. It's Pirate Angel Cult.
What does that mean?
Pirate Angel. Who's the Pirate Angel? Thor.
He is?
So Chris Hemsworth, who was called the Pirate Angel in the Avengers movie, he plays a cult leader in this movie, and it looks phenomenal. It looks like a feast for your eyeballs.
Check it out. I'll also check it out.
Kidding, which is a Showtime TV series, and it's Jim Carrey, so it's Mr. Carrey's Neighborhood. He plays like a Mr. Rogers type character with puppets, except In this one, it's a Michael Gondry thing, which he did Eternal Sunshine with him. So this is a series directed and or at least written by Michael Gondry. The Billionaire Boys Club. It's kind of like a Wall Street style movie. It's the 3-word review for Billionaire Boys Club is "Where's Christopher Plummer?" Because they left Kevin Spacey in this movie instead of replacing him. So I thought that was funny.
Oh yeah,
Siberia, which is the new Keanu Reeves movie, and it's John Wick jeweler, since he plays a jeweler, but there is a lot of heist stuff. 14 Cameras, which is a kind of a low budget movie, but it's a Scarebnb. But because Scarebnb, I don't think it's 3 words. Scarebnb dad joke. Halloween. We're wrapping it up here. We're coming through the finale. This is released on Friday. Was Halloween, and it's McBride of Myers, because Michael Myers is the name of the bad guy or the monster in Halloween, and McBride. Danny McBride actually co-wrote this movie. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he writes the horror movie. I guess he was a very big fan. And then First Man, which is another one of my favorite movies of the movie trailers of the week. And this one, Bracey will tell us, is
La La Land.
Nope.
Wait, what?
It's a play on the La La Land, but it's called
LA.
No, it's La La Landing. So La La Land is the other Damien movie. That's Damien and
yeah, I've seen La La Land.
Yeah, so the main actor and the director in La La Land came together to make this movie about the first moon landing, which is really great. And then but not least is Benched, which Bad News Pirates, because Pirates is the name of the kids team, and it's like Bad News Bears. Sorry, that took longer than I thought, but I thought we should get through it.
A lot of movies to cover. And how do we not cover them? I mean, when we are the trailer junkies and there's like 100 trailers that just came out in like one day. So maybe I missed it. What was the reason that so many came out the first week of June?
I am asking people that have been in the trailer game for multiple years.
Oh, so you don't know the answer either.
I don't know. It just seemed like an aberration, but then some people seem to think that this happens every year. So I'm asking those people on Twitter.
Okay.
If you know, let us know.
And maybe next week we'll come back with an answer.
Yeah, if I find out. Cool. So first movie up is
Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet.
So, Brycey, do you want to lead or you want Jimmy to tell us what he thinks?
I want Jimmy to lead.
Oh, you want me to start, huh?
Yes, I'm shy.
So Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2. And I know we covered this. I don't even remember what episode. It was like episode, 10 or something?
Something like that.
And, you know, I can't help but think of your initial thoughts of how they got the colon wrong.
Yeah.
So the flip of it should be Wreck-It Ralph 2, colon, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
That's your typical title assembly.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. At the end of the trailer, they make fun a little bit about how...
It's great.
They're trying to figure out the name. Is it Ralph Breaks the Internet, Ralph Wrecks the Internet, and the characters themselves are debating on the title of the movie. Maybe they listened to us in episode 10. I don't know.
I think we had a very common issue with the titling that they had, and because they had a common issue, it was widespread that why is it going to be Ralph Breaks the Internet when he wrecks things?
Right.
And or he could just change his name.
Change his name to like a B name, like Bryce Breaks the Internet.
Which then, I mean, why is he so big? He's like, the guy is enormous. How does that happen? Like, his wrists are bigger than, like, my thighs.
Yeah.
It's CGI.
It's a cartoon, Jimmy.
Oh, is that it? Okay. You know, I think the only thing I have to say against it, I mean, it looks okay. I mean, it's fine. Well, for one thing, it's a huge Disney advertisement. Star Wars, Disney Animation, Pixar, Marvel, The Muppet Show. I mean, all these things are like Disney owned, right?
Uh-huh.
But the biggest thing I have, though, is like, in a year or two, I mean, this thing has no staying power.
You don't think so?
Not at all. Because
it's a time capsule.
Okay, well, sure, it's a time capsule. But and maybe it's one of those nostalgic things where kids are going to watch it in 20 years and go, oh, I remember Snapchat, you know? But like in 2 years, Snapchat's going to be gone or something, whatever. Something else is going to pick up its place. I don't know. I just think the movie's like its staying power
it's
is like one,
it's
2 years.
It's too pop culture.
It's too pop culture, yeah. And you're right. I completely agree that in 20 years, people are going to say, wow, that was nostalgic, but you're not going to watch it because it's a good movie. You're going to watch it because, like, you know, kids today, right? They're going to be like, I remember Snapchat. Oh, my God, that was so lame, you know, or whatever it is.
Well, I think, you know, it really says a lot about Ready Player One and the way we saw Ready Player One. So I think that is what this movie is trying to do for this universe. I think Warner Brothers and Universal have the Ready Player One universe, and this is Disney showing its depth and breadth of its universe. It's got Stormtroopers, it's got Lucas, it's got Disney, it's got Pixar, it's got all the princesses. I mean, that princess scene is phenomenal. It pokes fun at itself. You know, I think that is the true test of, like, you think we're not cool, watch us poke fun at ourselves. And to me, that's what it says to me.
And it reminds you of all the Disney princesses, like how they became themselves and how they became a princess.
It's how they, what they're famous for. What do you think about the shoe when she breaks her, when Cinderella breaks her shoe?
When I see she broke her shoe, I'm like, you know, you just ruined your shoe. Just trying to scare off a little child. That's a princess.
And I think the audience, I mean, unless you're privy to the internet humor or the internet or the knowledge of the internet that makes the memes comical,
right?
This movie's lost on you. Like, I go to the movie, I go to watch this. I mean, I get some of the humor, but like, half the stuff I couldn't care less, and I guarantee you I would be like, I don't understand that joke. You know, I would be lost. And in my kids too, I mean, they're not old enough. So by the time they're old enough to watch this, like, I think the stuff, the storyline and all the,
it won't have the same impact for them.
It completely won't. Yeah, there's no staying power in this movie.
They won't have the reference.
Right. That's why I say there's no staying power.
They won't have the same things that we have today.
The knowledge, right?
You know, they're going to be like, well, that was just, you know, so 2018.
Before their time.
Oh my God, like, I can't believe it. That was like, so 2018. That's what they're going to be saying, and I'll be like, you know what? You're right. And I didn't even get it then.
So what do you think, Bryce? Will you see this?
I'm hesitant. Very hesitant of this.
Why? We see all the Disney movies.
Most of the time. We haven't seen Ant-Man and Wasp yet.
Well, Ant-Man and Wasp hasn't come out yet. We can't see it if it hasn't come out yet.
Okay, then. Yes, I want to see it, but Mommy and Daddy might say no.
We won't say no. We'll definitely see this one in the theater.
But I think, you know, I think, like, if you look at the first movie, I mean, it had a strong message of, like, empathy, integrity, and all this stuff. But at the same time, it was, like, kind of rude humor and, I don't know, sarcasm. And I guess you can probably, expect the same thing from this one.
Yeah. I mean, Vanellope von Schweet is the same character. So she's going to be full of sass. You know, Ralph has got the heart of gold and he's going to try to, you know, make things right, but continue to break things.
On accident, but not meaning to. It's right. Not his fault that he's so muscular.
Well, is he going to break things or wreck things?
Well, he's going to both wreck and break things.
First, he has to destroy his way to the core of the internet. And then he has to break it.
Like, I view, like, wrecking something as, like, you know, you knock the cabinets off the wall in the kitchen, where breaking something is like you just happen to knock over a glass.
Oh, okay.
And it shatters.
Yeah, so maybe that's the difference. Like, he's really not wrecking the internet.
So wreck, you're talking about intention, maybe. Wrecking is done intentionally. Breaking something is done accidentally.
Yeah, perfect.
But wrecking is sometimes an accident. You're just doing your phone thing on the books and then it breaks.
But like, yeah, like wrecking is like, whoops, I broke it, but I'm going to continue and just keep breaking.
Yes.
Until like it's completely destroyed, where breaking is kind of like,
oops, it broke, let me fix it.
Bump the wine glass with your elbow when it fell over.
Yeah.
And it all spills everywhere and it sometimes shatters. Then you have to go and put it back together.
Maybe he breaks the internet because when he goes through the modem, he doesn't really like pay attention, and in some way he like unplugs something and that breaks it.
Well, we'll all have to tune in and see.
I guess so. So Bryce, do you have any last review or any last comments?
No, but let's do the three-word review now.
All right, so the three-word review for Wreck-It Ralph 2, or Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2. Oh, Bryce, you want to give the three-word review?
Yes, I
okay,
do.
So Bryce is going to give this a three-word review.
Ready Player Ralph.
Ready Player Ralph, okay.
Ready Player Ralph.
So, like, it's like Ready Player 1, because Ready Player 1 is always on the internet. Virtual reality is, like, his lifetime now.
And it's full of pop culture references from when we were kids, and this is full of pop culture references from modern day.
There you go.
That's
it's
it.
Different.
Yeah. All right, so on to the next one. Next, we're doing
Bumblebee.
So, Bumblebee, Bryce, lead us off with Bumblebee. What did you think about the trailer?
I think
trailer?
Bumblebee was nice. It's like most of those, when you hide yourself, when someone's scanning the area, they go past themselves, you, and then they go back to you, and then you're there, and then they find you.
Then Bumblebee finally, like, shows himself to this girl who found this car.
And wants it, and she got it from a junkyard. So it's kind of like Hobby. It's kind of like that, but different.
And that's funny because Michael Bay, he had Bumblebee as a Camaro, and in this one he has Bumblebee as a bug, which is what it was in the original 80s cartoon. And the reason he had the Camaro is because he wanted to avoid the confusion of Herbie, right? So when you look at the nostalgic tone for this movie, there's a lot of nostalgia that comes into it.
Yes. And of course, the cartoon had the VW.
It did. Yeah.
And I think the big thing for me is that they also had, they had a deal with Chevrolet. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the vehicles were GM / Chevrolets. So that was another reason that they went with a Camaro.
Oh, marketing.
Yeah. So there was a buy-in.
Bumblebee is a bug car, like Jim said. So Bumblebee is a bug.
Yeah, bug. Makes
he's
sense.
Bug car, and then he's a bug is his name.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Well, and it's set in 1987, the same year that the original cartoon ended.
Wow.
Another thing of nostalgia, too, if you think about it, is Bernie Mac comes in with the voiceover.
Breaks my heart. It's amazing.
Yeah, when he talks about how the car picks the driver and all that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, son. A driver don't pick the car. The car picks the driver.
And then another thing of nostalgia is the Motorhead t-shirt that Haley Steinfeld's wearing, which obviously is the band Motorhead, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, she's a car enthusiast and a Motorhead. Mm-hmm. And then it's also the name of the Decepticon MicroMaster. One of the Decepticon MicroMasters was Motorhead.
You dug deep for this one, Jimmy.
There's so much nostalgia in the way this trailer, and I don't know, maybe it's the movie too, but the way this trailer plays out, that we get into it and we say, or they say, like, hey, we're bringing back the Transformers from the 80s. To today, you know, to say, like, okay, this is what we've wanted to do this entire time.
Right.
And, like, it brings back that most that red jet, you know.
Oh, Starscream.
Starscream.
I was very happy to see Starscream.
And also, the way he looks is more nostalgic than the more modern day. He's more of the 80s version of what he was, as opposed to the more recent movies.
Yeah.
Because it shows all his wires and metal scrap parts that are inside himself when he transforms back into a car.
Right.
Another thing I think, too, is, if you look at Bumblebee, I mean, obviously, the early pictures of him in the trailer is him of a Volkswagen Beetle. But later in the trailer, he looks like some utility vehicle, like a Jeep or something. So he must, like...
I know.
Yeah, I know.
That was weird, right?
I said maybe he evolved or something, like he transformed into another car.
Well, I mean, in the original, right, there was a... He was an old Camaro, and then he scanned the new Camaro, and then he became the new Camaro. So there is the capability of them to scan vehicles as they pass and take that as their disguise. Robots in disguise.
And yeah, how he had those different eyes.
He had the battle mask or something. That was kind of cool.
When he first transforms after getting pulled into the garage, and he gets kind of discovered as, you know, the transformer with his face all up in there, and it kind of comes a lot to life. But why is it that robots need to blink?
They have to, you know, wet their lenses and feel more
human.
Human,
I guess.
Maybe it's like, when they close their eyes, it processes everything and sends it to a chip.
Ah, there you go. It's like a shutter on a camera.
So going back to, 2007? 5? When was the original?
Oh, I don't know. We'll find that
4?
Out.
Yeah, I can't remember. But anyway, like, what I've always thought about these movies is that Michael Bay must be like some kind of a sound engineer, sound geek, special effects geek or something.
Yeah.
Because when they transform, that is, like, all of the transformer sounds for, like, when they're changing.
Yes.
It's nothing more but just a special effects sound Foley guy, like, that they just nerd out on, like, how many sound effects can we put into a robot changing.
Yeah, it was 2007.
Okay, 07. There you go.
To me, it's amazing because over the years, the way that the battles have taken place in all the Transformer movies,
yeah,
they started out in a good way. They were kind of simple. But then I think you and I have talked about this before, in sequels upon sequels, it always has to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And as it got bigger, there was a problem with the scale because it's all computer generated. They were too close to the action and too close to the robots as they were changing. And it actually threw you off in a couple of the earlier sequels. And the battles that were going on were just happening too close. So I think Guillermo del Toro helped them out and tried to help them show scale in such a way that you as a human can process it. So you actually need some more distance between you and the action. And in the later ones, in the Marky Mark,
hey, funky bunch
versions, it was a better battles because they were, you actually got further away from the action. And even though you could see less, it was better for processing the scale of the action. So hopefully this is in that same vein. You know, Michael Bay's still producing. And so we're just looking forward to this one. I was looking forward to this one a long time. I hope this can help the franchise. I think the franchise was flagging a little bit. So we'll see if this can give it the spark it needs.
Well, I mean, other than talking about the nostalgia stuff and the Motorhead and, you know, getting kind of into all that, I mean, that was mostly what I want to say. I mean, I think overall, I don't typically get into these kind of movies. I've seen a few of them. I agree with you. I think my biggest complaint that I've had with them is the scale.
Yeah.
It's, you know, destroy the world because we have these transformers so enormous that, like, the only way to defeat them is to blow up everything.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about the seven different types of movies, the storytelling in movies. This feels like a cat and mouse kind of scenario, because you have Starscream maybe looking for Bumblebee, and maybe that's where he's hiding out. And I love that they're, you know, that Bumblebee's just hiding out, you know, because there's plenty of points in time where the Transformers went into hiding and split up and tried to fend for themselves in between the bigger battles. So this is one of those times. Bryce has never seen any of the Transformer movies, right?
Right. I think this trailer is kind of nice because Bumblebee has an attitude, right?
Yeah. So he's total attitude. You know, that's something that definitely comes through, and it's nice to see maybe the origin story of Bumblebee's attitude.
Yeah, I get that.
This will probably be the first one that we might let Bryce see. We'll probably have to watch it first. I know he's been wanting to see these kinds of movies, but I think because of the scale and the heart and like, it seems like a smaller space, it feels like a good starting point for, you know, somebody. I'm hoping it's a PG, but it might be a PG-13, and we still might let him see it because, you know, I think everybody's going to be seeing this movie.
I've seen Star Wars, and that's PG-13.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of PG-13s in the Marvel and in the Star Wars realm. I don't think there's going to be much of a romantic love story, which usually turns these kids off, my kids off especially. So, you know, other than that one kiss underwater between Bumblebee and Haley, I don't think...
Did you kiss?
Yeah, there's a little underwater kiss in the trailer there.
And how bad could a story be with a Volkswagen Bug? I mean, come on. Like, they're such
the
cute
Volkswagen
cars, you know?
Drowns because...
I know.
It's
Volkswagens are waterproof.
They are?
The original VW Bug is waterproof, yes. Anyway, so Bryce is probably going to see it. I definitely want to see it. How about you, Jimmy?
Yeah, I would see this. I mean, I don't... And again, it goes back to what we always say, right? It's not that I don't want to see it in the theater. I think it's just, you know, my life situation keeps me from seeing things in the theater.
Right.
But when they come to streaming or Blu-ray or whatever, and maybe Redbox or something, yeah, I'll definitely watch this one, sure.
Okay.
I mean, if anything, you know, we have a pretty decent 7.1 surround sound system.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, the sound effects for this thing are so incredible that I might just watch it for no other... I don't even care about the story. I just want to, like, hear it.
You're the audiophile that wants
to
hear the...
I just want to, you know,
Bumblebee
I got my
transforms.
Marantz all dialed in with my subwoofer and stuff. I just want to hear this thing.
All right, last but not least, Bryce will deliver the three...
Hold it. I think I have my own three-word
okay,
review.
Great.
All right. Got Rickrolled.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Did he guess it?
What?
You almost guessed it. Ours is
Rickrolled V-dubs.
V-dubs. So mine is Rickrolled V-dubs.
Because I was like, once they started playing Rick Astley, I'm like, really? They just Rickrolled me?
They Rickrolled us in a trailer in 2018.
Totally.
How do you do that? It's like that.
Dude.
That's some high level Rickrolling in 2018.
What's a Rickroll?
I'm glad we both picked up on it, though. Man, that's brilliant.
From the mouths of babes, right? You know, you talk about your kids not being into the Wreck-It Ralph memes of the time.
Totally,
Bryce,
yeah.
I showed you Rick Astley on the float, remember?
Float.
There was a float in a parade, and it was like some Muppet parade, and then Rick Astley came out, and the parade guys started singing, and the guy doing the parade announcing says, "Oh, we just got Rickrolled on live television."
So Ted, I told you I'm gonna guess your three word reviews one of these days.
You did
I'm
it.
Getting I'm honing my craft. I'm getting closer. Got Rickrolled, man.
There
or Rickrolled V Dub?
Rickrolled V Dub.
Nice. We're definitely on the same page
for sure.
Brilliant.
And because we're past Bryce's bedtime, we're going to kind of power through because he really wanted to do the Lego movie.
Okay, let's do a Lego movie. Then we can, then he could take off and we could close things out.
There you go. Sounds good.
I think the Lego movie 2 is kind of nice. He thinks everything is awesome because in the first movie, the first song is "Everything is awesome," and so the world has changed ever since the tragic story that happened. I forgot.
Since
Taco Tuesday?
The tragic events of Taco Tuesday.
That's right. How do you forget Taco Tuesday? I mean, it happened.
And so, like, it's all changed.
Bryce is a Taco Tuesday denier.
Hey, I love Taco Tuesday because it's like a buck a taco.
So this movie seems like more of the same. You know, it feels like
sass.
It's the same thing. It's Lord and Miller going back to the thing that made them famous. It got them, you know, millions of dollars, and they're doing it again. Do you feel like this is a story that needs to be said or needs to be told?
Nope. It sounds pretty boring.
Well, I don't know. I might disagree with you. I mean, I think it starts off in a post-apocalyptic Mad Max world, which is a little different.
Really? Oh, okay. That's a little different. Okay. But I think the Chris Pratt character is the same.
You mean Emmett?
Emmett, sorry, yes.
Emmett Brickowski?
Wait, you know his last name? How do you?
From Bricksburg.
That's it. No, you know, I'm watching it, right? And I'm like, oh, you know, and they're going through the whole thing. Oh, the events that got us to this point. And they're going on. And then all of a sudden, Emmett shows up and he's like, I'll have two coffees, please. One with a little sprinkle of chocolate. I'm just like, really? But the funny thing is, at first I'm like, okay, great. They're going dark. But, you know, I knew better. Why did I get fooled?
Well, I mean, come on. They're going dark, but they said the fateful events of Taco Tuesday. It's like even that statement, even though no matter how Elizabeth Banks delivers that line, it's going to get a laugh.
No, right. Exactly. But what I'm saying is though, like, why did I fall prey?
Right.
Right. Like, I'm totally into it. I'm like, oh my God, they're totally going the other direction, but I should know better. I guess I was hopeful.
So I don't know. It feels like a rehash to me, but you guys seem to think it's a little bit different. I did, because of our mystery space alien or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it gives us more of a feminine side. She definitely feels like a feminine character. I don't know if she
what
takes
does that mean?
A girl. She's a girl.
A girl, yeah.
So in
a girl
our
villain?
A girl villain, but we don't know if she's this and this or a bad guy. She's just taking heroes from the world that we know and bringing them back to her world to fight with her, I think.
Or just to kidnap them.
Here's a question. The last one ended with Will Ferrell playing like in his basement Legos and all this stuff, and he had like that gargantuan Lego city and all
right,
this.
The master builder, right?
Yeah,
it's all hot glued together.
Okay, but you can only assume that somebody is going to be in their basement or playing somewhere because the last one was a human playing out his story, and you just happen to be in his fantasy world. I would assume this story is like the same. I mean, why would it be any different? Because the characters don't exist other than in one person's imagination.
Well, I think it was supposed in the original one. The way I read that was, it's actually two people's imagination colliding because it's basically
the
son and
the
dad, right?
The dad is the evil person, and the son is Emmett.
Right.
Okay, sure. So let's assume that. Then whose imagination is it for this movie?
It's the sister.
So Will Ferrell's not in it then?
I don't know.
Well, if you look at the credits, he's not in it.
Oh, okay, good investigation. I guess not. But I think it's going to be a girl who's the...
No, I would agree with that. Who's the catalyst, the
master builder of this movie?
Yeah, who's like the protagonist?
Yeah.
With that said, do you see it ending similar to how the first one ended, where it's in like a basement of a kid or something.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it would be great to see, you know, the boy, you know, Will Ferrell's son playing with a girl, and they both are playing with these same Legos that we've seen throughout the whole movie. I think that would be a great...
What if it's not the basement? What if it's their regular house area, and then the third movie, it's the attic?
So they keep moving out of the basement, up levels in the house, and that's how we progress.
And Bryce, you bring up a good point, because once you go to space and like as far out into the universe as you can get, it goes back to what your dad and I were saying, as far as like it gets so big and so huge. Well, how do you get bigger?
How do you one up every time? Yeah.
How do you one up every time? Right. Yeah. Now they're in the universe. Is there going to be a three? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you just start, you go into the Lego sewers or something.
Right. Well, you know, the stories don't actually matter about whether there's a third or not. It's all about what this makes in the box office.
Well, that's true.
Sorry to be cynical about that part of it.
No, I know. But I'm trying to like bring in real life to Legos. No, I mean, writers can write anything, can write out of, you know what I mean? Like they could just go any direction they want to go and make it, you know, post-apocalyptic to outer space. I mean, it doesn't matter, all in the same trailer.
Hey, if you write me a check, I'll write you anything you want to
write. Incredible. You're so right about that. And if you write me a check, I'll give you any review. No, I won't. I'll still rip you apart if I don't like it.
Any last thoughts on this one, Brycey? You're definitely going to see this one.
Yes, definitely.
You're going to see it in the theater. The nag factor is very high on this one because I will not be getting into this one for free. So we're going to be paying to see this one. I want to give the three review for this one.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? Can I give mine really quick?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, everything is awesome.
I had thought about that. Everything
it's
is awesome.
It's too obvious, man. It's too obvious.
It's too obvious.
Yeah.
So for it's me, everything is one word.
Everything is awesome.
Not everything.
Okay. Everything.
Bryce is trying to stump you. So my three-word review of it is a little bit different. My three-word review is Pratt, 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 because...
Why is it Pratt, Pratt, Pratt? Why is it named after someone?
It's named after someone because this is the third movie, and even though this comes
second
out in
movie.
February... Wait. Listen to me. It's a third movie with Chris Pratt in it that we're hearing about this summer. So we had Avengers with Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt first.
And then...
Now we're having... What are we having right in this month?
Jurassic World, not Jurassic Park.
Jurassic World is in a second Chris Pratt movie of this summer. And then come February, we're going to have this movie, Jurassic Legos. No, the Lego Movie 2, the second part with Chris Pratt. So that's a lot of Pratt. And not only that, the handle Pratt, Pratt, Pratt is Chris Pratt's Instagram handle. So you guys can check that out if you don't already know it.
So Pratt is the first movie.
Pratt is the second movie. And this is...
the third movie.
Right.
Okay, I see where you're going.
You know, and it's funny too, because I was thinking about like Legos when I was a kid. And, we kind of had the generic Legos, you know, like the generic city, the generic space, the generic like medieval time, whatever it was. And nowadays it's like Star Wars, Jurassic World, you know, Disney. So, I mean, and Chris Pratt's even in like all the Jurassic stuff, and it's so hilarious.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Because we were at Downtown Disney yesterday, I actually took a picture of a $800 set of Legos for the Millennium Falcon signature series.
It was
as big as Bryce's torso, and it was amazing, and it was 800
How many pieces?
Oh, I don't know. Must have been thousands.
Yeah.
2,800,000? I'm thinking.
Bryce doesn't know. He's very bad at estimating.
Yeah.
So it's like 50 cents a piece, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But it looked really, really detailed.
Nice and detailed. It even had the tiniest details that you don't even see in the movie.
Right.
Well, and the going, you know, like we talked about Solo last week. We're watching the movie. I lean over to Clarissa. I'm like, what's with the front of the Millennium Falcon? And then she's like, I don't know. I thought there was like a gap in there, you know? And
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like you learn later that it was the escape pod.
The escape pod that was jettisoned to help him. To help him do the Kessel Run in the 12 parsecs.
No, less than 12 parsecs. I know my Star Wars.
That's it.
Cool. So we're definitely going to see all three of these movies.
Definitely, but the Bumblebee is a maybe.
Bumblebee's a maybe. Right, we're going to check that one first.
You got to gain a few more years on you before you see Bumblebee, I guess.
Audrey can watch it.
Oh, Audrey can watch it, huh?
And then eventually, we're going to show Bryce Goodfellas, and that'll be the day, man.
What's Goodfellas? What's Goodfellas?
Goodfellas is one of Daddy's favorite movies, but it's such a hard R that you cannot see it for like another 10 years.
Ooh, yay. Until I'm 18 and I get my driver's lessons. Yeah?
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh.
All right, Bryce. So Bryce is off to bed.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Goodbye.
All right, Bryce, you have a good night, man. Thanks for participating.
Thank you.
All right, bye now.
Bye, Bryce.
Bye.
Yeah, so we had three good movies. I think, you know, we never really took a break in there, but that's okay. We had Bryce with us. I feel if we took a break, we would have lost him, and who knows what would have happened.
Oh, he was lost half the time anyway, so it's all right.
Too funny. Probably not gonna see Lego Movie, and probably not gonna see Wreck-It Ralph. I mean, you know.
Oh my god.
Well, you know how it is. Like my kids, I don't think they're old enough and all this. You know, I mean, once they're a little bit older, I think we'll get into it. There's just a lot in those movies. I think that would be lost on them as far as internet memes and all that kind of stuff. Where the humor, like, okay, you watch Cars or what is the one planes, yeah, my kids were just watching that later or earlier today. But there's so much adult humor in there that's lost on them, and I'm like rolling on the sofa, I'm laughing so hard at all the stuff, and they're just mm-hmm. like, Daddy, what's so funny? And I'm like, you don't even want to know.
He won 3 piston cups.
He did what in his cup?
But yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, a number of these movies I'm probably going to be, you know, skipping on. Bumblebee, though, I might watch. So like I said, as long as it's in my own house, yeah, that's like a make a pop, you know, put the kids to bed and make popcorn. Once they're asleep, turn up the volume and then listen to your system when it's the 1001 sound effects as he's changing into Bumblebee.
So it's interesting to me. I kind of drew some parallels. I was very interested about Danny McBride writing Halloween. So I was reading some of his interviews about how he was approaching writing this story of Halloween, because there've been so many sequels and so many different movies.
Right.
And he kind of threw it all out. He kept the original movie, the Jamie Lee Curtis original Halloween movie.
Incredible.
And then he said all the rest of them are kind of interpretations on a theme that was based on the first movie. And I thought that's a great introspective look into a way of approaching something that has been kind of rehashed and retreaded so many times. And I think if you apply the same effect to a movie like Bumblebee, and I would even go as far as to say Logan, you know, Logan was this beautiful story about old man Logan taken from the comic books, but it doesn't rest on canon like the Star Wars movies do, I guess. And I think that might be part of what is hopeful about Bumblebee and Halloween. They really feel like as long as you as the writer can take your audience along and say, trust me, we're going to kind of go down a different path, then we can create a new, fresh take on something without being too bogged down with so much. And I think Solo tried to do it. You know, Disney, when they bought Lucasfilm, and when they were talking about doing these one-offs and doing other movies, they said that they were going to throw out all the canon. But I think there was just too much tied into it that they couldn't throw out the canon, and they ended up putting Easter eggs in that were nods to things that they said they were going to throw out. So I think they were damned if you do, damned if you don't, really painted into a different corner. Whereas these single thread storylines, when it's Michael Myers and you say you're just going to go back to the original Michael Myers, and it's just an amazing, amazing freedom to give yourself as a writer and a creator in the cinematic space.
Yeah, as a practicing psychologist, I get into the Michael Myers story, and when they watch, or when they drive up onto the institution, you know, whatever that is in the original one, and they're talking about, you know, how he's this kid who, you know, witnessed his parents' murder and, you know, whatever it was. And
and
they're kind of talking about how he became who he was in the serial killer and this disturbed child, et cetera. Are they going to go down? I mean, I haven't seen the trailer or anything. Are they going to go down that path, you think, and just kind of like retell it in like in a refreshed way? Or are they going to be, is it just a completely new story?
I think they are.
I mean, I need to watch it after we hang up here, but, you know.
they're keeping it because it's going to be, you know, however many years later.
Oh, okay, okay.
So she reprises her role as the character. But because they've locked Michael Myers away in this new insane asylum, which is just so beautifully cinematically portrayed in the movie, it definitely harkens to a Silence of the Lambs kind of affectation of the Michael Myers space. So the horror of this movie is completely psychological, but it doesn't rely on darkness, which I think is a great space
to
be.
Maybe
darkness or gore. It's about the anticipation and about the thriller aspect of it. So her big thing is like, I've been waiting for Michael Myers to get out because I wanted to put a bullet in his head. You know what I mean? So she's wanted to kill him her whole
Vengeance.
Life. Yeah. And basically she's been practicing and like waiting and waiting and waiting, knowing that he's going to escape. And now finally this, you know, this anniversary, this Halloween anniversary, he does escape. And, you know, she gets her chance, you know, so
it's peppermint.
It is peppermint. It is a one-on-one revenge story, and everything else, you know, can fall to the wayside. And you don't know whether she's going to be successful or not because, you know, it's a new space. It's a new time. It's a new everything, you know?
Yeah. And then let's jump ahead now, you know, well, back or whichever direction it is. I don't remember which one you, I don't remember the order that you told us in, but some Mortal Engines.
Oh, yeah. Mortal Engines finally had a real trailer to it.
Yeah. What's your opinion?
I like it much better now that I have some of more of the story to it. The story feels like a tried and true, you know, underdog kind of space. You know, future dystopia. Hugo Weaving's a great villain in this. Hugo Weaving as a villain is a classic. It's almost a trope of itself. Hugo as the villain since Matrix. You know, he's been a classic villain. Matrix, Vendetta. Well, and then V for Vendetta. I don't know if he played necessarily. Well, I don't know. And that one, he wasn't really a villain. He was more of an anti-hero. So I think him, just his voice, the way he carries himself is just so great. So it definitely excited me more than the original. Still, the idea of these cities rolling around on big wheels is not that enticing to me. It really feels like it could have been a cartoon. It's like Howl's Flying Castle or something.
Yeah, you
know? It should have been in that space maybe, but I don't know. I'm not into it. I'm more interested than I was, but not enough to see it.
Yeah, no, I could agree with you with that one. I mean, I don't think I'm going to see it either. And I kind of see the metaphor of, you know, cities expanding to engulf suburbs or something, you know, like as you mentioned, with the cities rolling around on big wheels and all this. I'm just not into it, you know.
And there's a massive weapon, you know, that London is carrying around, and it's like, you know, whatever.
Right, exactly. And as if the cities that we have are so mobile that they just kind of roll around and go where they want to go. It's like, you know, you take a Chicago or something, or an LA, and it's like you could just bring it wherever you want to go.
Well, what does London have? 10 million people in it? There's no way. You know, you can't.
Exactly. Know. Exactly. Like, you know, I'm going to move from one city if I can even get it out. I'm going to move from one city to the next and leave everything behind, you know, but nowadays I just bring the city with me. I'm not moving, you know?
Right. I think to me, this kind of harkened back to Waterworld, and I just have such a special place in my heart for Waterworld. It's one of my favorite of the dystopian futures.
As bad
futures.
As it was, yes.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It got a lot of bad press at the time. You know, I like Dennis Hopper as the bad guy. I don't mind, you know, Kevin Costner as the Mariner, you know, I don't think it was as bad as it was made out to be. And it was one of my favorite, you know, stunt shows at Universal before they took it out to put in Harry Potter or something like that.
Yeah. You know, I'd have to say that one of my favorite Kevin Costner movies, probably, I wouldn't even say one of my favorite, probably my favorite Kevin Costner movie is The Postman.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's such it is so terrible, but it's such an awesome movie, you know? Like, he's just got, like, this post-apocalyptic, and he's got to get the mail delivered.
You're a godsend. Savior.
No, I'm just the postman.
You know, I mean, it's just... But yeah, so with that said, I totally agree with you that it wasn't that bad because, like... You just find the thing in that movie, whatever the movie. I mean, it doesn't have to be Kevin Costner movie, but like someone might find something they like in a movie, and it becomes like their movie, you know, and they just enjoy it. And I'm that way with The Postman.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah. You know, all 3 hours and 25 minutes or whatever the heck it is.
It was so long.
Oh man, it's brutal. Like it's a 2-day viewing, but hey, I'm into it, you know? The whole viewing's post-apocalyptic.
There you go. The world ends by the time you get to the end of the movie.
Exactly, yeah. All right, man.
Last but not least, Anton Volkov on Twitter. I think I might have said it at the beginning of this podcast, but he put together a bracket for all of the movies that had trailers for this week. So I'll send you the bracket. You and I can fill it out and maybe we can just chat about it a little bit. We'll post it on Twitter and we'll see where we land. And I don't know what movies or trailers are coming out this next week, but there's definitely some in the crop for this week that I might want to go a little deeper on for next week. So we'll see.
Oh, we can
totally
revisit. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if anybody, you know, listening has any ideas or wants to hear a deeper dive or anything, just hit us up on Twitter, on the podcast, you know, on the website, on iTunes or wherever, and just, hey, you know, just talk to us there and, you know, we can get into it a little bit deeper.
Definitely. And we'll put a spot right here for anybody that's listening on saycaster.com, and the spot will be linked directly to our comments page on our website.
Yeah. And that's a good point too. I think Saycasters, you know, I think our website still is probably the better place to see things just because we put up all the shows. We have our little, like, notes and things. But Saycaster's bringing in a close second because there is just tons of cool stuff for the spots. And it's kind of a new way to listen to podcasts with chaptering and all the other stuff.
Oh, that's great. We're playing with it a lot.
Yeah. So not 100% sure on its direction yet, but it's definitely playing out in the positive.
Yep.
All right, Ted. Well, hey, man, I had a good show. It was fun having Bryce on, and I think we covered some things. And, you know, I hate to say it, but, man, like I said, we got Rickrolled. You know, like just when you thought Rick Astley was over, he rears his ugly head once again.
He's a pretty boy. Come on.
Well, okay. I was going to say he rears his handsome smile once again, you know, with his plastered hair, you know, and big teeth. All right, man. Well, hey, I'm never going to give you up, Ted.
That's right. And one special thanks to Katie Cooper for hosting the Willets tonight while we were podcasting from Toluca Lake today.
There you go. Toluca Lake. Isn't that where Bob Hope was from or something?
Burbank.
Oh, Burbank. There
you go.
Toluca
Lake, maybe, yeah. So
yeah.
He owned this whole town, so.
He sure did.
Have a good night, Jimmy.
Yeah, you have a good night and get back to having fun with everybody and don't party too hard.
All right. See you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week. Later.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.